Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley, and I invite you into a lovely piece of scripture that is found in 1 Chronicles, the first book of Chronicles, and chapter 16. And I want to take you there so that you can see verse 11. It's so precious. David, with a psalm of thanksgiving, is saying, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually." This is verse 11. But the context is, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, and the lot of your inheritance. And when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And so it goes on, and the psalm is repeated over, and it's recorded, by the way, in various psalms. Psalm 106 is part of it, and Psalm 33 is part of it, 48 is part of it, and so on. There's a whole load of things here for us to look at for the moment to do. Let me take you into this where he says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. It is an important thing that we seek the face of God continually. We have no strength of our own. I know people like to think and like to say that they are strong, and they go to school and they make their minds stronger and they learn things, and so we have strong minds. But one thing we don't seem to do very much of, we don't read God's word. So we don't build up a strong spirit. And I want to say to you with love again, that it's necessary to seek the Lord and his strength. Where is his strength? It's in his word, in the promises of the word, in the love that oozes through the pages of his word. We need to seek the Lord. Do you ever do that? I'm asking you to be honest at this moment. Do you ever do that? Do you go to the Word of God and just read it and it means nothing and you put it down and say, well, I'm just reading it because the preacher says I have to read it? Or do you read the Word of God and comprehend? One of the things I learned as a child in school, that there had to be comprehension. And the teacher would say, now stand up and read. Did you understand from that? And I didn't know what in the world she was talking about. And she said one day to all the class, you must comprehend what you read. You must understand what you're talking about. So many people today don't understand what they're talking about. And they tie themselves in knots because they shoot off the cuff. They say things that they don't mean. And then they have to sort of turn around and pretend what they said didn't mean what they said, and all that sort of thing. And life gets very confusing when conversation isn't pleasant. So we need to see a few things here. Notice, seek his face continually. There are 24 hours in the day. Do you have 1 hour where you can kneel beside your bed and pray? Do you have half an hour? Do you spend hours a day seeking the face of the Lord? How will you understand what God wants if you don't see his face, if you don't see that look that comes from his eyes, that wonderful smile that comes across his face. A lady was in an immoral situation, and she came to my office and talked with me, and I said, you know, I can't really help you until you can seek the face of the Lord. But when you seek the face of the Lord, if you'll read John's Gospel chapter 4, John's Gospel chapter 8, you will discover in those two chapters how it was that Jesus dealt with women that were in your condition. And he said, go your way and sin no more. Don't keep on doing this sin. Break it up. Break away. Break away. And so we understand that very likely she did. Job has an interesting take on this subject. He says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. That's in Job 17:9. I want to say to you with love, if you keep yourself clean from sin, you'll get stronger and stronger. You won't have to rely on your mind. You won't have to rely on your body, because your spirit will become so strong that you will be powerful in the presence of the Lord. And you may have the weakest body. It may be in a bed of dying almost, or be in a bed of dying, but you may be stronger than those that are sitting around waiting for you to die, stronger than the living, simply because you have stayed clean. Those that have clean hands, they shall be stronger and stronger. Their strength builds up. You know, you get a hold of some weights and you build the body up. You build your arm muscles and your chest muscles and your shoulder muscles and your leg muscles, and you do all these things and you feel, why, I'm strong. Well, I can tell you at one time I could lift the corner of a car while a chap changed the wheel. Today I have difficulty getting the nut off the wheel. And that's me, actually, but that's beside the point. I just share with you, we need to get stronger and stronger. We don't need wimpy saints, we want strong saints. We want people that are staying in the presence of God. And the righteous, those that have been made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus, shall hold on to his way, the way that God has laid out for us. And he that hath clean hearts shall be stronger and stronger. Wow! Think of that for a moment. And then if you go to Psalm 37, verses 24 through 28, you will read these words, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. If you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is this momentary act of sin in your life, why, here is a great promise to you. You are kept by God forever and forever, and you are preserved, preserved. Somebody said to me the other day, you've lost some weight. What's your secret? Oh, I said, at the age I am today, I eat everything that's got a lot of preservatives in it. And I was joking, of course, and they caught on and they laughed and we both laughed together. But we need to understand our preservation, being preserved forever. The love of God is not a temporary thing, and it does not turn on and off according to the whim and fancy of people. If the love of God has been received in your heart, you are loved of God, and whether you make your bed in hell, he will be there. And though you climb onto the highest peak or fly with the highest aeroplane, he is there. And though you go to the ends of the earth in the east or the west, he is there. If you sit down, he is there. If you go to bed, he is there. If you stand up, he is there. And if you walk out, he is there. And if you stay put, he is there. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, and his love is complete in Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the epitome of God's love. It is God's love expressed towards man. Notice, love has these everlasting arms that I've already mentioned. They are all around us and they cuddle us and hold us in. They're underneath us and they hold us up. It's important to see that because this is by grace. Now, grace means the unmerited favour of God. You can't earn this love. You can't earn this relationship with Jesus. You can't earn it, but you can have it. It is the gift of God. It is God's gift to you. Notice when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John's Gospel, he said, the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is filled with the love of God. It is filled with the presence of God. It is filled with the kindness and the sweetness and the gentleness and the carefulness of God. And God never changes. His ways are past, says the psalmist here, finding out. His peace, the generosity of the Father, is given. His holiness, the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ, is proclaimed in our hearts and placed in our hearts. So we have holiness, and so we have purity, and so we have peace, and we have the generosity of God. See, peace is an expression of the generosity of God. If your life has been all turmoil, now it can be peaceful. And it should be as a Christian. You shouldn't have all sorts of aches and pains about the things of God. You shouldn't have all sorts of inquiries about, am I saved? You should be assured that he will never leave you and he will never, never desert you. But he will always be with you. I would say to you this, from dust thou camest and to dust thou shalt return. That's all you are. Your body is just a chunk of dust that will decay. Either it'll be burned at the crematorium or it will gradually decay in some hole in a cemetery. It's not nice to even think about sometimes, but that's what's going to happen. We came from dust. We return to dust. And I must say to you, with all the love in the world, as because from dust thou camest, God also knows that you are dust right now and that you're moved by every wind of doctrine. Everything that comes down the pike moves you. You have emotional distress and emotional upheavals, and these emotional upheavals move your whole body and person because you're dust. But when your spirit is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, come what may, you're all right. You're safe in the arms of Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel and chapter 24, verse 13, Jesus says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's this endurance? It's life. We need to live our lives. It's a terrible endurement sometimes. There are times when you don't know whether you're up or down. There are times when you don't know if you're in or out. There are times when you can't see the next step. There are times when there's a blindness in your soul. There are times when you don't understand God's word. There are times when you do. All kinds of things are happening to you day by day. Satan made sure of that. So you don't have to go very far to have all the aches and pains of a spiritual life to come upon you. But you do have to understand that Jesus said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That doesn't mean that you won't sin and fall off, as it were, the wagon. It means that you endure what the wagon brings. You endure the fact that your child does not follow the Lord Jesus. You endure that. You endure the fact that your parents are not living for Christ. You endure. The endurance of life is quite critical. And later in your life, if you're a young person, you will find that you will endure the pains of your body. When you were young, you bounced off the ski slopes, you banged yourself up on your bicycle, you came off your motorcycle and you banged yourself up, and oh my, it hurt for a little while, but with a little bit of help from the doctor, perhaps, or just laying still and being quiet for a day or two, those aches and pains went. But now you're turning 50 years old, we'll pretend. And boy, those aches and pains come back. and they remind you, now you're 60, and you're not just reminded, they're living with you. And the pain of that fall, the pain of coming off that horse and so on, is still with you. And now you've reached 70, and that pain is a real pain, and it does not go away. Maybe you reach 80, and oh my, at 80 years old, there's an accumulation of all these aches and pains. And you can't identify one or the other, but it's all there. And you look around and you look in the mirror and you say, oh, that poor body. I was so abusive of it. I beat it up. I stayed up late. I did this and that and the other that was not righteous. Or I just fell and crunched myself and got into an awful fix. Now, here's the pain. The pain that comes when you were young, you rejected someone. You rejected friends, you rejected family, you walked away from this, that, and the other, and now you're older. The pain of that is there. Maybe you need to go and ask forgiveness of someone whom you absolutely despise. But if you're spiritual and you've had a spiritual upheaval with that person, you need to go and write it. Otherwise, the pain of that will continue with you. Well, I would like to go on and tell you more. To persevere in Luke's Gospel and chapter 10 and verse 42, one thing is needful. We need to choose that needful thing because many have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. Now, this was the girl that came to Jesus and she poured the spikenard ointment on his head. And it drifted down his beard. And when he was on the cross, he could still, I think, smell that smell of spikenard ointment. He had a knowledge that there was somebody who loved him very dearly. It wasn't a moral sort of love. It was a deep, eternal, spiritual love. Do you love Jesus like that? Do you pour out your life for him? It's very important if you go to Luke 22 and verses 31 and 32, you hear the Lord Jesus talking with Simon Peter, and Jesus says, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. What was happening here was that Peter said, I'm not going to let them crucify you. I'm not going to let them hurt you. I will take a sword. I will fight for you. I'll be your champion. I'll go to war. I'll go to battle for you. They're not going to hurt you. I love you that much. I'm not going to. And Jesus had to say, shush, 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 Simon Peter, listen to me. I have come into the world to die for the sins of the world. And Satan hath desired to have you. But I've prayed for you, and I have prayed that thy faith fail not. When a man is rejected, as Peter was, when a man is called upon to show his mettle, as Peter was, and he fails, his faith gets mixed into that failure, and he thinks he doesn't believe anymore. So Jesus said, I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. In John 6, and verses 37 and 39 and 40, we read these things. All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I lose nothing. I will raise him up in the last day. Now here is a great statement from the Lord Jesus, and one that we should take to heart. A last day is coming, and it's resurrection day for the saint. Those of us that love the Lord Jesus will be raised up in the last day. All that cometh to me. Dear saint, how did you come? Did you come, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling? Is that how you came? Or did you come sort of saying, well, I need to do this, but I don't know what I'm really doing? Go back and think again. All that cometh to me, all that come. A child comes to its father and says, Daddy, or Mummy, to the mother. They come to him. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like that of a little child. A child has no threats. A child has total confidence in the parent. A little child is one that isn't innocent of sin, but he is innocent of the way of life. And Jesus says, come to me. I will in no wise cast you out. And in the original language, he was emphatic. He said, I will not, I will not. Three times he says, I will not cast out. He was very emphatic. And he said, you can't lose me. You can't lose me. You may walk away, but you can't lose me. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When the disciples said, teach us to pray, they saw in Jesus there was a secret in prayer. And Jesus said, well, when you pray, come to God and pray, my dearest papa, my darling daddy, or we say, our Father who art in heaven. That's the relationship. Our Father. A friend of mine died a few weeks ago, and he left behind three boys who are grown up young men now in their 30s and coming up 40. And these three boys are shattered because their dad has gone. And I had to say to the eldest son the other day, you know, God removed your father that you might turn to God the Father. You used to go to your father for counseling, for wisdom, for help. It didn't serve very much purpose because you did the things you did, went the way you went. But now you can go straight to God the Father. No intermediary. A father is a counselor, a person that represents God in every family. Every family. So don't be a drunk in your family, Father. Be a person who is approachable. Be a person who can succeed in telling his children what the Bible says, that they may grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That's your responsibility. We come to a place where sometimes we don't know which way to turn. The Apostle Paul tells us that we need to look at some things and we need to understand. Paul says, I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of God, the mark and prize, the prize of the high calling of God. That's where we should be. And as a saint of God, that's where we have to be. Paul writes this in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, be not weary in well-doing. Sometimes you think perhaps, oh, I'm always doing the right thing and they're doing the wrong thing. I'm always giving and they're always getting and I don't get anything. And oh dear, and you're in a pity party all on your own. My dear friend, whoever you are, be not weary in well-doing. Keep giving. Keep giving. I like to give my money away. I like to give it to the places where I know the Lord Jesus will use it to his own honor and glory. I like to give away. I like for us to be full of hospitality. I like my home to be wide open to whoever comes. Come, as Jesus said, come unto me. So my house should be, come unto Jesus. We should be welcoming people. Then the apostle writes to young Timothy, he says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This is a great statement of the Apostle Paul. He says, I know whom I have believed. I know it. I know him. So many Christians don't know because their trust is so vague, so feathery, so foolish, so nothing. Oh, dear, dear, dear one, if you call yourself a saint of the Lord Jesus, make sure that you know in whom you have believed and be persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed unto him. Have you committed your children to him? Have you committed your parents to him? Have you committed your friends to him? Have you committed to him everything you have and everything you are and everything you hope to be? And is your future committed unto him? There's the answer in a nutshell. I dare say to you so many things, but in 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will pursue me unto his heavenly kingdom. Wow, God's going to do all that for me? Yes, he is going to deliver me from every evil work and he's going to pursue me. That's the love of God being expressed. And then again, Peter, in 1 Peter 1 and verses 4 through 7, but I'm just going to use a phrase from that. We are kept by the power of God. Don't you understand? Can you not comprehend? Come without money and let's sit down and talk about this. You can't buy what I'm telling you, but you can have what I'm telling you. How glorious is God! How kind is our Saviour Jesus! Come unto me, and I will give you rest. What rest I have needed in the recent years, especially over the years. I've needed to rest. Come unto me, rest. When you get older, all your friends are dying, and you need to weep a little, but you can't weep externally, and sometimes you can't even say where the weeping comes from or why it comes from that place. But you have to understand, the weeping must be in the heart. Come to Jesus. Weep. Let him give you rest. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for keeping us and giving us such grace and such love, such overwhelming joy and peace. And we ask that you will give the saints of Jesus all your love and all your concern and all your grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hold us in the hollow of your hand. Let us not escape the nail print. Help us to be there. For Jesus' sake, his honor and glory, we pray these things. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.